Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Monday, August 20th, 2018, and today we're reading from the Big Book in the chapter Working with Others. We're on page 98, reading the second paragraph and commenting on that one paragraph only, starting with burn the idea into the consciousness of every man. Today's readers are Stacy W. for the 12 Steps, Nan K. for the 12 Traditions, Eileen M., Karen R., and Kathleen O. The reference number for yesterday's special edition meeting, for August 19, 2018 at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, our Sunday special edition starting time, is 11808. That's 11,807. And our number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for August 20th, 2018, is 11810. That's 11,810. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I will now ask Stacy W. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, my name is Stacy W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Wisconsin, the 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Stacy W., and I will now ask Nan K. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hi, I'm Nan K., a recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Nan Kay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter Working with Others on page 98. We're reading and commenting on the second paragraph, which I will now ask Eileen M. to please read.
Good morning. This is Eileen M. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trust in God and clean house. I'm Eileen, and what I take from this is it just reminds me of some times that I've talked to people about recovery, and sometimes I've heard people say things like, well, you know, I really want to recover, but I can't because my son's an alcoholic and I'm living with him. You know, I hear something like that, and, you know, What I take from that is, like, I'm the only person that I can change. I have to really take the focus off of them and put it on myself, because really the best thing I can do for people that I live with or work with is to work a program of recovery. And, you know, it's really true. I had in the beginning, you know, I had those excuses as well. It's like, well, I can't get well because of this boss or my work situation, or, you know, if you had my life, you wouldn't be able to get well either. You know, I kind of think that way. And, I'm a little nervous. So I think I'm going to stop there. Thank you very much. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Eileen M. Who'd like to comment on that brief but powerful paragraph today?
Patty T.
Ginger C.
Sherry K.B. Kathleen O. And Tracy, was it?
Yes, Tracy B.
Tracy B. All right. One more?
Leslie W.
And Leslie W. Awesome. Okay, so we got Patty T, Ginger C, Sherry KB, Kathleen O, Tracy B, and Leslie W. So Patty, please go ahead. You'll be followed by Ginger.
Hi, thank you. Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. This is an amazing paragraph, and boy, oh boy, does it describe my story over the last 4 or 5 months. You know, when I, right before I got abstinent again on April 28th, I was in such a terrible mind space. My job was was my enigma. You know, it was just killing me. It was just awful, blah, blah, blah. And I would complain about it if every OA meeting I went to. I'm just, you know, I was just in my disease. There was absolutely no doubt. And I could hear it, but I couldn't change it, right? And when I finally asked God to help me get abstinent so I could change my thinking, I didn't care about the weight anymore. I could care less about that. I just didn't want to be the person I was anymore. I just hated it. And God just dropped in and said, okay, I'll help you. And, you know, that was the first day. 4 months later, somebody in my Sunday morning meeting asked me, so how's your job? You know, and I said, oh, it's the same. And they said, oh, still terrible? I said, oh, no, I changed. And that's the whole thing. The only condition is to trust in God, to trust that God will help me and clean house, look at my part. And the reader, you know, just now, Eileen was absolutely right that you know, we can't change other people. I can't change anyone else. I can't change the company I work for. I can't change what's going on in society. I can't. But God can help me change me. And I have to be willing to look at my part. I have to be willing to look at my stuff. And as I do, I begin to grow, and I'm able to pass that on. Thank you for letting me share our past.
Thank you very much, Patty T. Ginger C., you're up next. Followed by Sherry K.B.
Hi, good morning, Elaine. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, and thank you for your service. Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And Byrne, you know, emphasize this idea that's into every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. And I am just so grateful that when I began this process, this practical program of action, my sponsor emphasized that we are God-reliant, not sponsor-reliant, you know, not people-reliant. It's not about others. It's about this power that I lack that I need to get connected to and then continue to grow with a day at a time. That is the only thing to keep me safe and protected. As close and connected that I have a really good chance not to bend the elbow and pick up today. But again, it's not about these people and personalities. And I'm so grateful. You know, I know and I see it a lot in another program that I'm in where everything is about the sponsor. And if I had to rely on my sponsor for my 10 steps, it might be 2 days before I make contact. And it says, when I am disturbed, I have to get going on that. I can't afford 2 days. I can't afford 2 hours. It's right away. I got to get into this action. So again, you know, what we do here is hopefully the food has convinced us and that we're willing to put it down and surrender completely. I think I relapsed in OA for 20 years because I was somehow going to figure the food out. I was going to be in OA and have my cake and eat it too. And it doesn't work. Because I have an allergy, and that allergy component kept coming into my body, and I kept relapsing over and over and over. So we surrender, we say goodbye to the food, and then we just get busy. Get out of my head, into my heart, into action. It's not what I'm thinking, it's what I'm doing. So it's a really simple program. It's just that I have this ego, I have this head where everything centers in my mind, and it wants to convince me about anything and everything to go the opposite direction. And my ship has turned. It's trying to return home to this source, this power that I lack. So I just get this daily reprieve, one day at a time. Thank God it's no more than that. And I hope that I never stop. And I hope today's pain is enough pain for you because I don't think you have to take this elevator any further down. And I don't think you have to be at the bottom level. The 12 and 12 tells me in step one, you don't have to continue the process. You do have to surrender, say goodbye to the food, and then you got to get busy. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Ginger C. Sherry KB, you're up next, followed by Kathleen O.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Elaine, and everybody on the line. And welcome, newcomers, and happy Monday. Yeah, this is a very powerful statement and paragraph, excuse me, and just it's sitting all by itself, and we're asked to read just this one paragraph this morning. So this shows how powerful this paragraph really is that we need to pay attention to. And so burn the idea into consciousness of every man that he can get well, regardless of anyone, or I want to say or anything, that it doesn't matter, that if we're standing on sacred ground and we've gone through the steps and we've trust God and cleaned house, like, you know, steps 1, 2, and 3 and 4 through 9, which also means 10 through, step 10 is 10 through 4 through 9, and we're living in 10, 11, and 12, so it means we've worked the steps and that we do trust our higher powers and that we lean on higher power for everything and no longer are we leaning on the food, and we clean house. We live in 10, 11, and 12. And with that, you know, someone had said earlier, I can't change me. How in the world can I think I can change other people when I can't change myself? I can't change without my higher power's help. And so when I'm trusting my higher power for everything, I'm in good hands. I don't have to worry anymore. And if I put my if I lean on anyone else besides my higher power, I'm in trouble. I can get support, absolutely get support from my sponsor, my fellows. I get support from my family and friends. But if I have full reliance on them, we're all in trouble. And so I know that's what I was taught, and that's what I impress upon all the people I work with, that full reliance, 100% full reliance. It's like 100% laying the food down, 100% full reliance on a higher power, and you can't go wrong. That's been my experience. And using the word burn, that idea, so I could just see it like labeled, like tattooed on my head, Siri, 100% reliance on God only, and support of others and being supported, but, you know, do the work, keep your house clean, you know, stay in those steps, 10, 11, and 12, work the steps, work with other people, you know, trust God. And then I love this, trust God no matter what it looks like, trust God no matter how long it takes, and trust God I'm going to be okay no matter what. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
I love that too. So thank you so much, Sherry KB. And Kathleen O, you're up next, followed by Tracy B.
Good morning, Elaine, and good morning, everyone on the line. This is Kathleen O, recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. The only condition is that he trusts in God and clean house. We're being told that to get well, we don't need to rely on our own self or another human being. I can't fix my problem. My sponsor can't fix my problem. And you can't fix my problem. And of course, no food item is going to fix my problem. And I had plenty of foods that I depended on for that ease and comfort. But God can and will, if I make trusting in God and cleaning house my priority every day. And on page 47, speaking of God, when therefore we speak to you of God, we mean your own conception of God. And I trust and have faith in the God of my understanding, and I can rely on that power. I relied on that power to get me well, and I rely on that power every day to keep me well. And we clean house, and cleaning house is being willing, surrendering, examining ourselves, and seeking the truth. And, you know, in step 12, we are giving away what was so generously been given to us. And I actually want to pass this on. It's true that nothing will ensure immunity from eating compulsively as intensive work with other compulsive overeaters. But to work with others and see them get well and experience the miracles of these principles is really an amazing thing. And it's so important to place dependence on the God of our understanding, and equally important to pass this on by, as these words say, burning the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. You know, lack of power, that was our dilemma. And so this power, and there's all sorts of, you know, it's referred to as many things in the big book, the realm of the spirit of the universe, creative intelligence, force of the universe, all inclusive, never exclusive. And we clean house by taking inventory and removing the obstacles that stand between us and this power. And that power will restore us to sanity, meaning we'll no longer fight the food and we're not going to fight other people. You know, this is really about not trying to fix others, but repairing the inside of ourselves rather than trying to fix the outside of everything else that's going on. And, you know, we become useful. We don't find what's wrong with everyone else. We just look at our own faults, concentrating on spiritual progress. And if I do this, I'm promised joy and freedom in my life. And it's so true that anyone on this line can get well. The only condition is trusting in God and cleaning house. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathleen O. And Tracy B., you're up next, followed by Leslie W.
Hi, this is Tracy B., a recovered compulsive overeater. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to start off today just by saying how grateful that I am for this recovery and my abstinence and my higher power showing me that it is only me, my part. I spent a lifetime of blaming others for everything. It was never my fault. You know, I was the victim. And today, by working my 10, 11, and 12 every day, I can do that inventory and see my part when I'm disturbed. It's something within me. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm so grateful for my abstinence. I took it for granted. I never worked the steps as hard as I've worked them this time. I've been in another program for 10 years, and I realized, like, my core addiction is my food addiction. I was abstinent. I broke my abstinence, and it was hard to get abstinent again. And like I said, I took it for granted, and I'm so grateful for the gift. And truly, today I can say it's a gift. And I just want to put it out there how grateful I am for my higher power and for this meeting. And if it wasn't for this meeting, I would not have found my sponsor that I have today. And I've never worked the steps as hard as I did this time. And I want to continue daily to get down to the core, because I, you know, it's those emotions that I can't deal with. And by doing my inventory, it helps keep me clean. So that's all I have to share, and thank you for listening, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Tracy B. Leslie W., you're up next, and we'll take some more shares.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your service today. This is Leslie W., recovered in Tennessee. And as I was reading, listening to this paragraph this morning and to the shares, it occurred to me that I would not have given for someone to say to me early on, hey, Leslie, just because you have a 3-month-old baby and a husband who doesn't support you coming to meeting doesn't mean you can't get well. Stop using that as an excuse. Now, I really identify you ever. I mean, I really, really did. I really, when I walked into OA, I thought, I looked around. I didn't see any other young mothers in my face-to-face meetings. In fact, I never really met any young mothers until I came to Vision who were working this program. And so what I would have given for someone to just, yeah, would it have made me mad? Yeah. Would it have hurt my feelings? Probably. But the truth is that even though I had those things going on, the truth is in these words. You know, the truth is that despite those things, what I really needed was to recover from my disease, because I couldn't be a good wife and I really couldn't be a good mother unless I could get the food out of the way, unless I could get that off my back, because it was always there, you know, it was always looming and I always fought it so hard. And I just didn't get it. I didn't get the fact that I didn't understand that I was using those things as an excuse not to get well. That was exactly what I was doing. And, you know, I think that had someone come alongside me and said those words to me, you know what, Leslie, I know life is hard. I know that you're tired. I get it. But I'm here to walk alongside you and help you. and we'll do this together, you know. So that's why it's so important, and show me how to do that, you know. And that's what the people, the women on this line, the people in Vision have taught me. They've taught me how to continue doing this work despite whatever circumstances that I find myself in. Because if I can't stay recovered and if I can't keep the food down and I go back to that place of misery, I will lose everything. I will. I will lose my marriage. I will lose the privilege of parenting my children. I will lose everything, the people in my life that I hold dear. And I will lose myself. And I will lose myself. And I don't want to go back to that place. So with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Leslie W. Such great shares today. And we are sharing on the second paragraph on page 98. It begins with burn the idea into the consciousness of every man. And who would like to comment on
Laura
R?
Laura W.
Melissa C.
Okay.
Rebecca T.
I heard Melissa C. and Rebecca T. and all the other names were kind of a jumble. So if you could please say them again.
Brandy
R. I heard Gina R. and Brandy M., was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. We'll go with Melissa C., Rebecca T., Gina R., and Brandy M. Please go ahead, Melissa. You'll be followed by Rebecca.
Hi. Good morning. If I apologize if you lose me because I'm actually traveling. I'm away camping, but I just wanted to jump on because it's Melissa C., recovered compulsive overeater in New York, and like I love being able to say this to people. You can recover. So,
we are losing you a bit, Melissa. We can't hear you right now. Okay, she may be in a place with bad reception. So I think we'll move ahead to Rebecca T. since we haven't been able to. Melissa, is that you? Okay. Thank you so much for jumping in, Melissa. We're having trouble hearing you, so we're going to go ahead to Rebecca T. and then Gina R.
Hi, it's Rebecca T., compulsive overeater from Bakersfield, California. You guys hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, it's so great to hear all your guys' shares. And isn't that just amazing that we can be camping, we're driving, we're walking, wherever we are, we can stay connected. And this program has taught me so much, and definitely, you know, I came in with so many phases. And, you know, if someone told me that, actually, from the beginning, well, you know, it's going to take just complete openness. It's going to take cleaning out my house and, you know, just make sure you bring your spiritual higher power with you, and that'll be recovery. I don't know. I didn't get it. I definitely didn't get it. But my saving grace was that I knew that I had tried everything else and nothing else worked. So even though at the beginning that was very confusing to me, and of course part of it angered me a bit because of course all the while I've been pointing fingers at people in my life, at places, at things, at situations, that I truly knew that, well, once those were fixed, then I would be better. And yet I, you know, of course I had many, many moments where life was pretty good and life was calm and there weren't dramas and I was still eating, you know, like crazy. So again, that was able to prove me, kind of push me down to the ground and say, no, that must not be it. So luckily, I came to believe, and I just said, well, if it's not me, it's going to be them and whatever they tell me right now. And so through the fellows and through all of the speakers and the big book and delving into the material, I slowly started to see that it was about me. But that also, that helped to lift a lot of weight, physical weight and emotional weight off of me, because although the work was hard and is hard, it just says that the hope and the promises that, wow, no matter where I go, no matter who I'm with, no matter what crises are happening around me, and they will happen, that I have a program that will work every time, that as long as I pull into my higher power and work my tools and work the steps, that I can, you know, thrive throughout my day, not just survive, and I don't have to eat over it. So, yeah, with that, I'll keep coming back, and the newcomers, don't lose hope, even if it doesn't make sense. Bye.
Thank you, Rebecca T. Gina R., you're up next, followed by Brandy M.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body in Green Valley, Arizona. Thank you so much for your service, and yes, indeed, welcome the newcomer. When I see the phrase burn the idea, that takes me right back to when I was challenged by my guide to really examine some of the delusional thinking I had coming into this deal. And once I was able to release the notion that that delusional thinking could be addressed by God, I finally realized that if I'm going to be delusional, I may as well go ahead and be delusional that this thing is going to work. And for me, that's what happened. I just somehow decided that, okay, this can work for me. The only condition is that I trust in God and clean house. And for me, what trusting in God and cleaning house meant was God was working through my guide and I was following direction. And the direction they were giving me was coming right out of this book. It was pretty simple. And I actually marvel at it today, realizing how I had never, ever really done this before in my life, in pretty much anything. I've been that person who would take an idea and decide that I could make it better and improve upon it, and I would change it before I even tried doing anything. So I could get well also regardless of myself. So it says we can get well regardless of anyone. So I was my biggest obstacle in this whole deal. And it really boiled down to me simply, as it says on page 96, you can find somebody desperate enough to accept with eagerness what is offered. That was me. I was at a point of desperation where I was willing to be told what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and somehow through some other force beyond me, I was able to do that. So if you are out there stuck in this hamster wheel of thinking it's never going to happen for me, it's not going to happen for me, it's not going to happen for me, fine, take that energy and just flip it around and say, it can happen for me, it can happen for me, it can happen for me. It really can happen for you. There are plenty of us out there who are examples of this, and so delighted to be here, and with that I pass. Thanks again, Elaine.
Thank you, Gina R. Brandy M., you're up next, and then we'll take a few more.
Good morning, it's Brandy M. from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, currently in Phoenix, Arizona. I am so grateful for this paragraph because if somebody wouldn't have done that for me, then I would not be in a state of recovery. You know, I'm on holidays right now and I can still stay recovered, contingent on the fact that I rely on God. The principles and ideas that were put forward to me, I also thought I could never get it. I was never going to recover, spending so much time in chronic relapsing. I just thought, like, I'm done. But when I saw these people with a message and that they were doing it, even though life was happening, was amazing to me. And I couldn't balk at it anymore. I couldn't say, well, it can't be true, because I listen on these lines and there's all these people recovering. And life is not rosy, and they're still doing it. And so no matter what, no matter if anything, I can still, as long as I, God comes everywhere with me. And for that, I'm grateful. I mean, it's nice to have outreach and connect with people, but the first thing I do every day is rely on that higher power to get me through my days. And when things come up, then I'll call somebody. But maybe I'll just go to God and God relieves me of those feelings. The last little while, life has been crazy. My husband was diagnosed with cancer four weeks ago. We were having issues before that. And today, I can rely on God. I don't need to figure it out. I don't need to figure out what my marriage is going to look like at the end of this. But I know that God's telling me right now the right thing to do is to stay, love, and support. And it doesn't matter about what Brandy wants anymore. It matters what God's directing me to do. And for that, I'm grateful, because I can be at peace. I can be at peace with all of this. You know, I don't know what the future holds, and I don't know what the future holds for our marriage. I don't know what the future holds for him. And that's okay. Because today, God is telling me, just do the next right thing. Just be loving and kind and patient. And, I mean, being a chronic relapser for that long, and to be able to, I mean, I haven't lost my abstinence over this. We've had many things in life happen in the last 7 months that I've been abstinent. And I still continue to come to Phoenix, go to the grocery store, get my food, cook it, prepare it. Because that's what comes first, me, God, and my abstinence. And it was funny, yesterday my daughter said to me, Mom, we're on holidays. Can't you just have a little bit of ice cream? And I said to her, I said, do you like your mommy? Do you like a good mommy? And she said, yeah, Mom, I do. I said, well, then I can't have that sugar. And she said, okay, Mom, I get it. You know, it's the gifts of this program. It's that trust and reliance on God that makes life better. And today, I don't need to depend on Brandy. I can depend on God. And I can be in a beautiful place and still stay clean and sober. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brandy M. We have time for about four more shares. Who'd like to comment on the second paragraph on page 98?
Laura W.
Laura
Hi,
W.
X. Kelly N.
I heard Deb and Kelly N.
Penny C.
And Penny C. I think that's all we'll have time for. Laura W. Deb, what is the first initial of your last name?
G.
G. Okay, Laura W., Deb G., Kelly N., and Penny C. Please go ahead, Laura.
Thanks. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. And, the only condition is that he trusts God and clean house. And, there's promises in all these steps, and there's also conditions. You know, if we do this, then this will happen. This program and these 12 steps, I've heard that, you know, this disease does not discriminate, but neither does recovery. From Park Avenue to Park Bench, anybody can recover in this program. The book, the writers of this book, you know, most of the time will suggest things, and they'll say things, you know, here are the steps we took that are suggested as a program of recovery. And, of course, you know, my sponsor always tells me that working the steps are suggested, just like it's suggested you pull your ripcord when you jump out of an airplane. But in this paragraph, it says, burn the idea into the consciousness of every man. Burning is some serious stuff. We're not saying tell the man that you can get well regardless of anyway. It's burn the consciousness, you know, reiterate it over and over and over again. But what they have to do, what I have to do, I need to trust in my higher power. I need to get rid of the self. This whole process, 4 through 9, which is the house cleaning, is about death of self. And when I work these steps over and over and over again and clean house every single time, it's important. You know, I don't just clean, I think it was shared earlier, you don't just clean your house once and be done with it. You know, it gets dirty every day. And, you know, working with other people is my defense against self, and self is my problem. So, what a great reminder today that, not only do I need this idea burned into my consciousness every single day, no matter how long I've been recovered, but in order to help somebody else, I need to share that hope with them. It doesn't matter what your outside circumstances are. This is an internal condition. Willingness is an inside job. I can't give it to anybody, but you can recover, and that's a blessing. So thanks for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you very much, Laura W. Deb G., you're up next, followed by, Kelly N.
Hi, this is Deborah, a compulsive overeater from Phoenix. And thank you for your lead, and all the shares that continue to remind me of how God is in everyone's lives to help me to be more and to surrender and having God work in my life. And through all the steps, you know, I love going through the steps because it always reminds me that God is in all the steps, and then I can take that and live those steps, you know, in my life today. And knowing that I don't have to be the one, I love that, especially I just took on a new sponsee, and, you know, I can share my experience, strength, and hope, and let her have the dignity to discover the truth for herself and her recovery. And I don't have to be in there trying to do it for her or do it for anybody else, anything. You know, everyone is on their own. Everyone's doing the best they can, time and place. And when I remember that, you know, I have more serenity and more peace, and I'm more connected to God because I'm not in self-will. And also that I love, you know, sometimes it's like doing nothing. And I love the great phrase from Winnie the Pooh, nothing leads to something. That's not that I always have to do. Sometimes it's just nothing. And just, I love this program, love all you. I love my abstinence, nutritious, healthy foods, clear head, anxiety gone. No diabetes. It's just amazing, and I'm grateful. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Deborah G. Kelly N., you're up next, followed by Penny C.
This is Kelly N. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Kelly. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, this is my first time sharing on this meeting. A little nervous. Yesterday, I celebrated 30 days of recommitted abstinence, and why this strikes me so much today is that the only condition is that he trusts in God and clean house. And somewhere along the line, I began relying on Kelly, and Kelly was doing this great food plan, and Kelly was doing this. And it's so poignant that we only read, you know, three lines today, and we're being told that God is number one, and we've heard that shared today, you know, 100% reliance, you know, steps 1 through 3, I kind of in my mind, I'm thinking, and then 4 through 12 is, you know, like someone else said, you know, I got to clean house, and I got to keep it clean, but primarily, I have to trust in God. And I had just flipped back this morning to page 68, a second full paragraph. And it says, the basis of trusting and relying on God is the basis I live with. I trust in infinite God rather than my finite self. And then it goes on. But I have to remember and turn my life and my will over every day to this God. And every moment I'm feeling anger or fear, God is there with me. And that's what happens to me. It probably happens to a lot of you. I get running into life and it's Kelly on Kelly's will. And so I was going to say a gentle reminder, but burn definitely isn't gentle. I need to remember, and because I quickly forget, I need to repeat and repeat and repeat. So thank you all for being here and 12-stepping me back into these rooms one more time. I'm a chronic relapser,
And I'm grateful for you all, and thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Kellyanne. Penny C., you're up next, and we may have time for a two-minute share after Penny's done. Please go ahead, Penny.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you so much. I'm Penny C., recovered compulsive overeater in the Boston area, also known as Red Sox Nation. Had to get that in there. This paragraph, this tiny little paragraph, has so much to say. In fact, in my experience in talking to others, this is one of the paragraphs that people memorize. You know, almost always people that have been studying the big book for a long time can tell you exactly where it appears. And I think of certain people who would repeat this this over and over, burn into the consciousness of every man, and that all we need to do is trust God and clean house. And so I'm going to concentrate on that word, on the phrase, trust God. For many years now, over 5 years, since I heard on a special edition a woman repeating over and over again as she went through a real tragic situation watching her husband decline and die of liver disease. And she just kept saying, God, I'm yours and I trust you. And that phrase has gotten me through so many situations. Trust God. Why not? You know, wouldn't it make, I've said this before, but it makes absolutely no sense to me that I wouldn't trust God. What else is there to do? It's like, you know, acceptance that this is how things are right now. What else is there to do? And so I offer that, you know, God, I'm yours and I trust you. And I want to reference the special edition where a woman named Robin on May 5th, 2013, did the special edition that really impacted me so much. That phrase, you know, I'm yours, God, and I trust you. So all you have to do is go to the wonderful website, and so easy to find the special editions. Just go to special editions and put in Robin and look for the special edition that is dated 5/5/2013. And that's what I'm going to do today. What I do every day, trust God, because I am his child and so are all of us. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Penny C. So we do have 2 minutes left for a share if somebody would like to take that.
Eileen F.
Matt B.
Yeah. Oh, well, Eileen, we'll go ahead with you and see what we've got left for time, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for your service and for everybody on the line. I really appreciate hearing you all. This is Eileen S. in Portland, Oregon. I love it where it says, trust in God. The only condition is that he trusts in God. And the thing that I wanted to say, if you're new and you don't understand, what does it mean to trust in God? I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know how to do that. And as a result of working the steps, sometimes God speaks to me through other people. I can't always access God just sitting here. I often can, but at least at first, I didn't know how to do that. So I would listen to others. I would listen to the guidance of others. And the way that it has grown for me to trust God is that I try something that is suggested of me that did not originate in my mind, because that's where the disease is centered. The disease is centered in my mind. And I try something that someone suggests to me, and it works, and I start to feel better. And then I do it again, and I start to feel better. And then I start to get a sense that I'm being guided, that as I listen to these things, as I listen to this guidance, I start to trust in the process. And as I trust in the process, that more and more brings me to trusting in God. And that's all I wanted to say this morning, is that it's been a process for me to learn to trust in God and believe that there is a God guiding me. As things work, and I see so many different things in my life that come up that I see in looking back, or sometimes in the moment, if I'm lucky, that this is God guiding me and I listen to it. So that's how it works for me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. And I believe it was Matt who spoke. If you can take just a minute, that would be fine. I heard a gentleman wanted to share. Okay. Well, this is what I'm going to do.
Hi, this is Madam.
Please go ahead. You got just about a minute. Matt. Are you there, Matt? Okay.
Oh, Anne-Marie.
Okay. I'm sorry. We've only got about a half a minute left, and I'm just going to take a second, please. Sorry, I'm just going to read something quick out of the book that just goes with this. It's page 100, what I call the best promise. This is for both you and the new man. You must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. I've had to repeat that promise many times, and it gets me through. And I just want to thank everybody who has shared. We're going to transition the meeting now by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Karen R. please read A Vision for You?
Hi, this is Karen R., compulsive overeater, anorexic, bulimic, and recovery from North Carolina. And this is page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.